to read in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105, page 773 in this Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in the book of Isaiah in chapter 2, chapter 1, the first chapter of Isaiah in verse 18. Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 39. Ye search the scriptures, for ye think that in them ye have life eternal. And they it is which bear witness concerning me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Bookshops are becoming more of a rarity these days, with so much that you can buy online, as they speak. A bookshop is becoming rarer. But some of the larger ones have a Meet the Author Day, where they invite the author to come in, and you can meet him or her, and you can even get their signature in the beginning of the book, and that book becomes a little more special and more precious. I've got one or two in my collection where the author has inscribed their name at the beginning of the book. We've read, dear friends, tonight from God's Word. This is the most wonderful book in the universe. It's not just a collection of stories. It is history. As someone's rightly said, in fact, it's his story. But this is not just a collection of stories. It's God's holy, inerrant, trustworthy word. It tells me everything I want to know about God. Everything. It contains the way of salvation. It tells me who God is. It tells me who I am. It tells me what God feels about my sin. It tells me God's attitude of love and mercy. It tells me how to live my life and how to please God. It's my comfort. Everything, dear friends, is in this wonderful book. And throughout the ages, men have tried to stamp it out. The devil hates this book, but it's here and we're reading from it tonight. The most wonderful book in the world. And tonight, dear friend, I'd like you to meet the author. That's why the gospel is preached, that you might meet the author. But instead of inscribing his name on a page, he wants to write it on your heart. The gospel is an invitation to meet the author of this wonderful book, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who upholds everything in his hands, and yet the one who is interested in you and me and wants you and I to enjoy his presence and his favour forever. I'd like you to meet the author, dear friends, tonight. If you've never met him before, I I've read of two scriptures where there is an invitation. The first one in the Old Testament, in this wonderful book of Isaiah, which is the gospel of the Old Testament, isn't it? And how God makes his heart known. Despite the wickedness of men, despite the wickedness of his own people, God makes his heart known. And this appeal here, which is often used in the glad tidings, but I have no hesitation in using it again here tonight. Come, let us reason together. This is, who is this speaking? It's God himself. You think of that. Men, you know, in unbelief, have no idea what God is like. They either think he's too far away, or the other thing is that they think in a familiar way. The scripture presents God as holy, cannot even look upon sin, and yet at the same time he's interested in you and me, and he wants our blessing, and he wants to bring us to himself. Come, let us reason together. You think of that. You and I, as creatures, sinful creatures, and yet God wants to have to deal with us. He wants to speak to us. And this is, in a sense, this book is God's word. It's God speaking to you and me. Come, let us reason together. You know, this isn't just a little chat, if I can speak reverently. This isn't a fireside chat, but it's an important matter between you and God, between your soul and the Almighty God. And he, although he's so great and so glorious, he wants to speak to you, and he wants to have to do with you, and he would reason with you. Isn't that wonderful? The glad tidings is the most reasonable thing in the world. And it's not a fable. Peter speaks of cleverly devised fables, and the world today is full of them. It always has been and always will. Fables, fairy stories, ideas, myths, notions. But these are the glorious facts of the glad tidings. And God wishes you to know them and to come to him. So he would reason with you tonight. Just as Paul did. If you read the book of the Romans, Paul sets out in a logical and orderly way the facts of the glad tidings. It is, in a sense, God reasoning with man. And tonight God would reason with you. And he says that he'll take away your sin, make a wonderful change. Sin is ugly. What does it say? It's red like crimson. It's distinctive. It can't be hid. We think we can get away with certain things. But you know, sin is spoken of here as being scarlet and crimson. Stuff that stands out. Can't be hid. Says in the scripture, doesn't it? Be sure your sins will find you out. I read of a case recently where someone's sins found them out years afterwards. You know, that can happen. The wonderful news is God would have those sins, although the consequences of them may remain with us for all our lives, because the scripture says what we reap, what we sow. And yet, in the glad tidings, a remedy is proclaimed. That those red sins, those crimson sins, which can't be hid, which stand out against us. Glorious thing is that the precious blood of Jesus can make them white as snow. How wonderful that is. What a transformation. What precious blood it must be. Here in the Old Testament, well, we know that it's all looking forward to the coming in of Jesus. That's why the Old Testament is just not a dusty collection of old books, but it's a living word of God which speaks so wonderfully of the coming Saviour. And God here would reason with us. He'd say, I want to bless you. I want to forgive you. I want to make you holy. This is part of the object of the glad tidings, that men are secured as holy vessels for God's praise and God's glory. And the only way that that transformation can take place is there be an erasure of the sin. And so that it looks forward here to the precious blood of Jesus that was shed. Many sacrifices were given in the Old Testament, and it was the way that God deemed it to be for that time, but it all looked on to that one sacrifice and that one shedding of precious blood. And I wonder tonight whether you have met God. Have you had an interview with the author of this wonderful book? You know, we will have to meet him. I've said that your sins cannot be hid. And it says we shall all appear. Solemn thing that all men will appear. Proud men, those that defy God, will have to stand before him. And you know what? They won't answer a word. Nothing to say. They won't be able to answer a word. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, isn't it wonderful? God's grace, it goes out right to this very evening, so that you may not harden your heart, but that you might respond to God's love and God's invitation to come to him in saving grace, saving faith, and put your trust in the Lamb that's been provided, the Lord Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. He will take one day the sin of the world away. You think of that. This world is full of sin and full of death. Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to take all that away. But the wonderful news is it can start in your heart tonight. He can take your sins away. He can forgive you your sins. And you can make those red, ugly, dark sins white as snow, pure as wool. Nothing that I can do. I simply need to trust in the finished work. You know, the Old Testament, those children of Israel, they were in the houses and the destroying angel was coming over. Does it say when the people saw the blood? No, it doesn't say that. God says, when I see the blood. It was dark, you know. I hadn't thought of it until recently, but it was at midnight. You wouldn't have been able to see the blood anyway because it was dark. But God saw it. God saw it, and that's the important thing. My faith is in the precious blood of Jesus. And whatever I may feel, if I have my trust and faith in him, God sees that, and he's able to make it as white as snow. What a wonderful offer in the glad tidings. What an invitation. Come, let us reason together. Be sure tonight then that you don't refuse this wonderful interview. Because, you know, it's for you to accept. All you need to do is to respond in faith to him tonight. It says, if you refuse, I didn't read it, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword. There is that side of the glad tidings. It's glad tidings. But if you refuse it tonight, dear friend, it becomes sad tidings. Make sure that you seize the opportunity that you might come into salvation. And then, you know, God would write in our hearts. It's a wonderful thing how individual it is. I think someone said recently from this desk that the gospel is an intensely individual matter. It's a personal matter. Come now, let us reason together. And if you accept If you put your faith in what Christ has done, then God would write in your hearts, not on the tables of stone, not on the pages of a book, but he'd write on your hearts. That's wonderful. The thing is, you know, man's heart, as without Christ, without the salvation, is hard. And men's hearts, as they continue in sin, it gets harder. Think of Pharaoh. I hope tonight your heart has been softened by the wonderful offer of the glad tidings. And God would come into that heart. And Jesus would come in and he'd write on those fleshy tables of your heart to claim you for his, for himself. That's what the gospel is to do. It's that you not only might be saved, but you're bought. Well, the apostle says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. If we come to the Lord Jesus and put our trust in him as Saviour and Lord, we don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to our family. In that sense, we belong to him. He has put our seal upon us. We're divine property. He would write on our hearts his ownership. I read in the New Testament, because I've spoken about the scriptures in this wonderful word of God, but you know it's possible to know it in an intellectual way. You know, the Jews, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law in those times, I suppose they knew the scriptures very well. Think of the Saul, the Pharisee. Probably hardly anyone knew the scriptures like Saul did. He knew them backwards and forwards and inside out. Maybe you can quote scripture, but you don't know the Saviour. The Lord Jesus says, ye search the scriptures, because you find eternal life in them. What are you putting your trust in tonight, dear friend? Is it in the scriptures themselves? Is it in the meetings? Is it in religion? What is your trust in? It says you will not come to me. That's the crux of the matter. Life alone is found in Jesus. This was a terrible indictment of the situation. You would not come to me. And they could have come. And many did. The Gospels are full of those that came to Jesus. Occasionally, he came to them. But very often, there were one here and one there that came to him. The crowds, they pressed on him. The crowds were fickle, but here and there, one man, one woman, one child, they came to him. Question tonight is, have you come to Jesus? The last words of Jesus recorded in the scripture are an appeal to come to him. To him that is athirst, let him come. Amidst all that terrible happenings that Revelation speaks about, and yet right at the very end of the scripture, there's a wonderful appeal from the Saviour himself. Come to me. I wonder if you've made that step of coming to the Saviour, because in him you will find life. Life alone is found in Jesus. This book is absolutely dead if you don't know the author. You need to know him personally as your Saviour. And you'll find that you have life. The Lord Jesus here is speaking about life. We live in a scene of sin and death. Death, it says in Romans, has passed upon all. And the stench of death really covers the whole of the earth. But God wishes you to have life. The Lord Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the full. Because God not only wants to redeem you and to have you for himself, he wants you to be living in his presence and to praise him. It speaks about the living shall praise thee. And the house of God, the church, is being built up. And what's it built of? Living stones. Those that have come to Christ, had that wonderful transaction with him. And they find that they've passed from death to life. Have you made that transition? Have you passed from death to life? You can do it in a moment by putting your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is indeed the author of all things. He's the author of, is the beginning, it says in Hebrews, the author and the completer of our faith. He's the creator. How great Jesus is. People think of him as a mere man or a good teacher. Dear friend, he's the blessed Son of God. He's the creator of the universe. You read John 1, you read Colossians 1, you read Hebrews 1. You see how great Jesus is. And yet he wants tonight for you to put your trust and faith in him. He wants to have to do with you personally, that you might make that wonderful transition from death to life. What indictment it was, you will not come to me. Thank God, over the centuries, many have come to Jesus. I did. Many, many here have. May there not be anyone tonight in this hall who's not made that step of faith in coming to Jesus and finding blessing and finding forgiveness of sins and finding the gift of the Holy Spirit, because that's all to do with life. You know, you can't live a life pleasing to God in your own flesh, in your own heart, but the moment you trust in the Lord Jesus and have to do with him, he gives you his Holy Spirit. And he gives you life in all its fullness. I have to admit, we sometimes don't live up to it. But it's there for us to take hold of. Life is in there. It says in John, that woman who was so dissatisfied with everything else, it says, what I shall give shall become in you. Now, something which is from outside, but which is inside, and springs up into eternal life. And she was changed, wasn't she? She passed from death to life. She could met the Saviour. Tonight, dear friend, have you met this wonderful person? Life is found alone in him. Many people spend the whole of their lifetime looking for the answer, when it may be under their very nose. Maybe you've heard the gospel dozens, if not hundreds of times. You know the scriptures, but you don't know the author. May you come to have to deal with him tonight. May you have a personal transaction to say, yes, he died for me. He shed his precious blood for me, that I might come into life. And that as I'm coming into life, I might serve and praise him, not only in eternity, but for the rest of my life here. May you come to know him in this glorious way, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.